This is Leo Baybue for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM and ktwh.org on your favorite digital listening device. Our low-power broadcast is one that's very interested in the world at large, but mostly we talk about it as it plays out on our local level in our small towns and neighborhoods of the North Shore. KTWH doesn't have a news team or a budget for ongoing coverage of national and international developments. We're not a member of any large news gathering network. We see our role as providing some insight, some alternative coverage when the mainstream news chooses not to cover local people responding to events that are happening across our country and the world. And on January 13th, a Saturday, just a few days back, there was an international and national day of action to protest Israel's war on Hamas and the Israeli attacks on the civilian population of Gaza. On that day, people were assembled in the brisk cold of January at Lake Superior Plaza in Duluth to show solidarity for Gaza and demand an immediate ceasefire. But there were no stories about this demonstration to be read or watched in the local press. Some national media did report on the march in Washington, D.C. that day, but the local action was covered in just a few short paragraphs that week in the alternative paper, The Reader. That lethal violence continues in Gaza, but despite some folks saying that the rate of killing has slowed, the Israeli government has not revised its public goal of doing everything they can to eliminate Hamas by all means available, in order, they say, to defend Israeli citizens. There are many perspectives on how Israel has responded to the Hamas killings back in October 2023 of 1,200 Israelis, but the U.S. role in the Middle East has also not been evaluated in great detail in most of the press. My purpose today is to give listeners some sense of what the activists in our area were trying to express at the rally that they held on January 13th. And though their community also probably has a range of thinking and positions about the tragedy that's unfolding, we can share one voice today from that demonstration, one of the organizers. I have Sharla Gardner on the line. You may recognize Sharla as a former city councilor in Duluth, and she's a longtime activist as well. Welcome to our airwaves, Sharla. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you come to this as, I guess I may have referenced you as an organizer. You're a member of one of the sponsoring groups of that demonstration on January 13th?
Yes, that is correct. I am a member of Grandmothers for Peace. I am on their steering committee, and I did MC the event and help organize the speakers and the order of the speakers, so there was some coherency to the rally.
Were there other relevant sponsoring participants, you know, organization-wise?
Yeah.
You want to just give a shout-out to those?
Yes, we were working in concert with Veterans for Peace, the Democratic Socialists of America, the Anti-Imperialist Action Group in Duluth, and I may be leaving somebody out. Oh, Jewish Voices for Peace.
Okay.
And there is an organizer there. Her name is Claire Bransky, and she was very helpful in getting the group together. And unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the organization that she is part of, but I want to make sure to give a shout out to her because she is doing amazing work.
Great.
We are working with people of all ages in the community, people from 18 to 80, and that is very exciting. Our group is coalition is becoming more and more active, and I think stronger as a result of the work that we're doing and what we see as what is humanity is up against at this very crucial time in this century.
And had some groups come together earlier in the after the Israeli invasion began? I think you said back in November you may have had actions as well.
Yes, yes. The same groups and that, but the groups themselves are becoming more active and energized, and membership is growing within the group. So we are coalescing very well, and we're working well in coalition, and that is something to be proud of. And so that's one good thing about all of this, I guess.
So you have a coalition that has wide ranges of ages and identities, and I'm asking you, as an organizer who's been around in these efforts for a while, if you would be willing to kind of speak to all of the key points or many of the key points reflecting the urgency of your fellow citizens that were demonstrating before and after January 13th, all of you seeking to end the violence and maybe point the world towards helping seek justice for everyone who's had been robbed of their lives since last fall. Please, Charlotte, this is your forum for telling us exactly how you came away from that event feeling about what the general sense of the community that was expressing their outrage, what it was.
Well, we had people speaking that were from a variety of backgrounds, and I think that's important, and speaking to different aspects of the conflict. We had Dr. Mary Owen as a speaker who is also a Native American leader in the community, and she spoke to the targeting of healthcare professionals and doctors in hospitals and in Gaza, and the direct and intentional targeting, which has become very concerning, as well as the targeting of reporters and journalists. I believe there's over 100 journalists now that have been killed and deliberately and targeted. And so in addition to the 25,000 plus innocent civilians in Gaza who have been slaughtered by the Israelis. So people spoke to this and spoke to the importance of witnessing, the importance of speaking the truth, and the importance of honoring what is happening to the people, to the Palestinian people, and be a voice for them. 85% of the countries in the world are concerned and about the genocide in Gaza. And by genocide, I mean the definition of genocide that we have is that it is an intentional and willful annihilation of an ethnic group. And the Israeli president and the Israeli prime minister have both said that. They both called the Palestinian people animals. They have vowed to wipe them off the face of the earth, and they continue to slaughter innocent children and civilians in the name of defense. And we have to remember that on October 7th, there, depending on who you read and who you talk to, anywhere between 800 and 1,200 Israelis were killed by an attack of Hamas at a concert that was just on the other side of the wall from the open-air concentration camp that is Gaza. So you have to ask yourself that. I mean, I remember asking myself that question when I saw the report. Why are they having a concert right on the other side of the wall from an open-air prison where people can't leave, can't come and go as they please, and people are essentially trapped there? Their movements are controlled completely by the Israelis. So the repercussions of this that the Israelis have rained upon the Palestinian people is not defense. You know, if somebody gives you a black eye and you punch them in the nose, you hit them back, that's self-defense. But then when you continue to pummel them until they are knocked out and bloody and near death, that is no longer defense. That is assault. And so the proportional, and the world sees it. And for those who don't see it, I hope that they will look into this more and recognize that this is, in fact, what's happening. And I think for me and for the group, and I know I can speak for the entire group, there are over 100 people there in 10 below weather. But the support of Palestine and supporting Palestinians is supporting humanity. And it's a painful thing to witness, but we can't look away. We have to stand and bear witness and share what we know to be true. And, you know, 100 plus brave souls showed up in the coldest day of the year. I think Duluth rally was probably, my guess, is the coldest rally in terms of temperature, but definitely the warmest hearts. And this was, this rally was in concert with worldwide rallies throughout all the major cities internationally and in the United States. But we were there specifically, the action for it to be in solidarity with the March on Washington last Saturday.
Right. Those who couldn't make the trip but stood their ground against the cold and mm-hmm. raised their voices. And did it come up from a number of speakers' perspectives of what the challenge is to the citizens of the world superpower that has a direct hand in military aid year after year in ways that are obviously probably underwriting the violence that is carried out by the Israeli Defense Force?
Yes. This was borne out by, I remember Christopher Cohen was one of the speakers, and I wish I would have put my list forward before we were talking of all the people who spoke, because I didn't know all of them. I got to know them later, but at any rate, they spoke to this issue, and, you know, it really is very simple. This whole thing could end by the stroke of a pen by President Biden. All he has to do is stop funding that military action, stop sending those weapons, and Israel is done assaulting Gaza because they won't have the means to do it anymore. And several of the speakers talked about how the president wants to have it both ways, and that he says that he's talking privately to the Israeli government, telling them that they need to stop killing civilians, and privately saying that. Well, obviously, it's not particularly private since he's telling us what he's saying to them, if in fact that is what he's saying to him. Because what is happening in the reality is the weapons continue to flow, the money continues to flow, and the killing continues. So you can't have it both ways, and I think we see the hypocrisy, and the people who spoke on Saturday were very clear about the hypocrisy of President Biden. And we know what this administration is doing, but they are trying to placate people and fool people into thinking that they are sympathetic with the Palestinians. And it is very clear by their actions that they are not.
We are speaking today with Charlotte Gardner. And as you can hear, we're speaking about the incredibly challenging topic of the ongoing violence against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. And Charlotte, you were just speaking about the role of the U.S. And are you optimistic that given our own internal democratic institutions' shakiness, that we have a citizenry that can be mobilized, activated to pay attention enough to have a constructive role in petitioning their government to make a change?
I always am optimistic, but I am also realistic. And because information without inspiration is so deflating and is so disempowering. And I believe in empowering people, and I believe in the human spirit and the strength of the human spirit and the strength and the light of truth. So in that way, I believe that people can become mobilized. But I am also realistic enough to see that the people in our federal government in particular are not open to what the people want. Because really, when you think about it, if they were, we would all have Medicare for all or health care, because 75% of the people in the United States want that, but we don't have it. And in addition, nearly 70% of the people in this country want a ceasefire in Gaza. That's a huge majority. And it's not happening. And our government could do it if they chose to, but they do not choose to. They are, I believe, and quite a few folks from Jewish Voices for Peace have shared this. They are bought the federal government, the federal representatives, including our own senators and congresspeople, by the American group, the Jewish lobbying group called AIPAC. And so I think that we're not going to be able to vote our way out of this. But I think by educating people and by making sure that people hear the truth in whatever way we can share it, definitely this will be a start. And at some point, I'm not sure what's going to happen to make a change, but I have to believe that everything that we do and say, no matter how small or how few people we reach, there's going to be a tipping point that happens. And I am anxious to go and move forward to that. And so to that end, we continue to speak out. We also continue to stand in silence. Our group, one of the groups that I'm part of, it's actually an action called Women in Black. They are people from Grandmothers for Peace and Veterans for Peace and other groups that show up. And we go stand on the corner of Lake Avenue and Superior Street at the People's Plaza every Friday between noon and 12:30. And we stand in silence, grieving the killing and standing for a ceasefire. And then after we're done, we stand in a circle and we get the list. We have a list from the Gaza Ministry of Health of all the people who have been murdered. And we say their names and we say their ages. And so that, because these people are human beings and these are entire families that have been annihilated, they are not numbers. And that is a very, for me and for everyone who participates, it's a very powerful action. And everyone is welcome. You wear black if you have it, make sure you cover your head, and it is a silent vigil, and that has its own power.
And Sharla, is there an online or social media presence where folks can stay tuned, stay in touch with any further actions that are going to be sponsored and coming to our shores here at this end of Lake Superior?
Yeah, well, Grandmothers for Peace has a Facebook page. And Northland Grandmothers for Peace. And you can find us on Facebook that way. And feel free to like our page and you'll get updates. And you go to that anytime you want to know what's going on. We have a pretty good network. And our president of Grandmothers for Peace, Dorothy Walden, is just a conduit of information. And so she always has her finger on the pulse of what's going on nationally and locally. And so that's, you can find out from there.
Great. Well, I thank you so much for joining us today, Sharla. I'm sure there are going to be people who have been listening who might come to this thinking they're on a different plane from where you're at. But I think that anytime we're talking about this level of catastrophe, that we really need to step up and really listen to one another and try to stay focused enough to see what steps will take us one day at a time to something better. And I appreciate that you are doing what you can, and good luck. Best wishes.
Well, thank you. And thank you for letting me share this side of the story, this particular important side of the story, and that is the Palestinian side of the story. Because if you want the other side, you can tune in to any of the corporate media stations, whether they be cable or regular network stations, and you'll get all the other side information or disinformation that you want. So thank you again for letting me share this, because I think it's so critical. This is a very critical time for humanity, and we must all know the truth.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate it very much. Sharla Gardner, we will stay in touch. Thanks again for joining us here on KTWH.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye now. That was Sharla Gardner, and she, a member of Grandmothers for Peace, and we were speaking about the incredibly tragic situation in the Middle East these days and what our role is in learning about it and doing what we can to change the reality for future generations. This is Leo for KTWH.